The latest is Nicolas Maduro and his wife Celia pleading not guilty yesterday in their first New York court appearance after this whole surprise attack in Venezuela. But there are implications here in this country, internationally, of course, and especially in Latin America. Let's bring in Brad Roth, professor of political science and law at Wayne State University. Good morning to you, Brad.
Good morning.
First, I have this question because a lot of people are bringing up the 1989 invasion of Panama and Noriega. There are similarities here, but how is it different?
Well, it's there are a whole bunch of different things. I mean, one odd thing about the situation is, of course, that the United States did invade Panama and therefore took control of the country and handed it over to a government that had already actually been established. Although it had not been internationally recognized, the winners of the election in 1989 that was voided by Noriega actually did form a government, immediately consented to U.S. involvement, and essentially there was a ready-made government to which the United States simply handed over power after having secured the country militarily. Nothing like that has happened here. What has happened simply is a kind of smash and grab where we have taken out the ruler but left his vice president in charge, and apparently we're pretty much ignoring the people who had won an election that was stolen from them in 2024. So it's a very strange variation on what happened in Panama. What happened in Panama was overwhelmingly denounced in the international community. It was clearly a violation of international law. This is a violation of international law as well, although the responses have been kind of oddly muted from certain quarters because of a kind of fear of what Donald Trump might do next.
Professor, when a superpower takes an action like this, how much does intent matter in international law versus precedent, especially when you have other powerful nations that are watching very closely?
Well, intent as such is not really an issue in international law, but there is sort of an optic in international law about all of this. Part of the problem is a sense of a smashing of international legal norms that would leave behind a notion of a kind of regional hegemony on the part of whichever were the greater powers in a particular neighborhood. So what people are watching here is the United States doing this to Venezuela seems to be a license for Russia doing what it does not only in Ukraine, but perhaps in other areas in what they call the near abroad. And of course, China vis-a-vis Taiwan. And Donald Trump seems to have this sphere of influence notion. He's talked about the Monroe Doctrine, or as he refers to it, the Donroe Doctrine, his corollary to the Monroe Doctrine of the early 19th century, which would simply assert U.S. power over the region. That would be simply a repudiation of international legality.
What supersedes which? If laws were broken here in the United States, does that supersede international law?
In no way. U.S. law cannot in any way undermine the bindingness of international legal obligations. And the United States has a firm international legal obligation under the United Nations Charter not to use force against the territorial integrity or political independence of other states. So this is understood as a quite clear violation. And the fact that the United States has only in very selective ways internalized international law into its own legal order doesn't affect the fact that the United States is bound on the international plane to binding legal norms.
Does this situation differ from other situations where past presidents have gone into sovereign countries and carried out military actions without notifying the countries prior?
That has happened on many occasions. You know, it's interesting. I grew up with the idea that the Japanese had done something dastardly by having performed a sneak attack, as it was called, at Pearl Harbor. But in fact, the United States has typically engaged in unannounced raids on foreign states. One can think back, for example, to raids on Libya way back in 1986, or the Noriega affair in 1989, the United States launched an attack, an unprovoked, a surprise attack on Panama at that point. So this sort of thing actually happens fairly frequently, and that is not the pivotal aspect of the international legality. The announcement or a declaration of war, these things are no longer considered of legal significance.
What about the whole of Latin America? Because there have been threats against Colombia and Mexico and Cuba from President Trump, and then, you know, some talk of Greenland again. I mean, I think people are worried about what's next.
It's very difficult to predict because, you know, we were told a long time ago that we should take Donald Trump seriously, but not literally. And yet now it seems that we do need to take him literally. And the Danish in particular are taking notice because of all this talk about Greenland. And the president's chief advisor, Stephen Miller, seemed to feed that the other day with assertions about Greenland. The United States, of course, could seize Greenland. And bizarre though that would be, particularly since it would be an attack on a fellow NATO country and would trigger Article 5 of the NATO Convention against us, something that's almost unthinkable. You can never tell what might occur. And of course, Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, is particularly fixated on Cuba, and we might very well see actions there. I don't think they'll take action against Colombia because there's going to be an election soon in Colombia, and the current president, whom Donald Trump despises, will be out almost certainly after that point. And so it would be kind of silly for them to take action against Colombia. What's happened in much of the region has been a rightward shift in governments. And so although there are major countries like Brazil and Mexico that have stood against the United States and all of this, there are increasingly right-wing governments in the region that have taken the side of the United States, Argentina, Ecuador, and now Chile, which has denounced us, has just recently had an election where a Trump ally is about to become president. So there's a mixture of reactions in the region.
And Professor, I mean, is there a realistic pathway for international legitimacy in the new Venezuelan government, or will this action kind of permanently, you know, complicate recognition?
It's very difficult to figure out what's going to be the future of a new Venezuelan government, and particularly since Donald Trump has asserted that he runs Venezuela. We saw this very bizarre news conference where you would expect a kind of explanation to the international community of what the United States was up to in all of this. Instead, you got the sort of thing that you might imagine more at a political rally than at a clear articulation of the U.S. position. And there's been no effort. The source of legitimacy that there would be, which would be the people who were elected in 2024, have been totally shut out of this process, including Maria Corina Machado, the actual leader of Venezuelan opposition, who won the Nobel Peace Prize that Donald Trump so badly coveted. And so she seems to be shut out entirely despite her best efforts.
Brad Roth, professor of political science at Wayne State. That was a great explainer. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, and there's reporting in the Washington Post if maybe she would have given her Nobel Peace Prize to Donald Trump,
right,
she'd have a bigger role.
Like, he might have a little issue with her because of that. So,
coming up, the auto show has returned to its roots here in a cold January, and we're going to talk about what's on the menu with Sam Clement.